This is a HeadGum Podcast.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
So I get into the St. Regis and I, you know, like get in my room and I'm like kind of getting all set up and stuff. And then I'm like, oh no, not this again. I go down to the concierge. I get right in his fucking face and I'm like, this pillow doesn't have my name on it.
Oh, what did he say?
He was like, it's on the other side.
Nice.
It ultimately was there. Hey, what up? Welcome to Hollywood Handbook and Insider's Guide to Kicking Butt and Dropping Names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. I'm Hayes Davenport. I'm here with Sean Clements. We're both writer actors. We want to give a quick shout out to Hollywood Reporter, which is our favorite newspaper.
Just the best journalism happening mm-hmm. today is happening in THR.
Mm-hmm.
They break the most stories and they break them with the best sense of humor and
yes.
the greatest integrity.
Yes.
Also, when they're expressing an opinion, it's the right one.
Mm-hmm.
They released their annual 35 Under 35.
Yes, they're recently. Sort of Hollywood's next gen agents, executives, lawyers, like sort of the young people who are going to be making waves in this industry in the near future.
We are, of course, honored to be included.
We appreciate you putting us on it, despite the fact that we aged out of it quite a few years ago.
Keep telling you
hush,
that.
Hush.
Yeah.
Keep shtum about that. But we also, there's a list that we like to do of the real power players.
The real next-gen power mm-hmm. players. Because the 3535, sorry to say, a lot of these people are either past their prime that they're listing and they're mm-hmm. not going to do fucking jack shit.
Mm-hmm. I think in a lot of those cases, if you're 35, you sniff that milk and it doesn't smell so good. It's time to throw out that milk.
Yeah, you'd put that milk in the trash.
You'd have to throw that milk
because
in the trash.
Because it's spoiled. Now, what we like to do is go a little bit fresher with our mm-hmm. milk, and we make a list that is the 15 under 15, and this is the Hollywood up-and-comers who you are going to be seeing them everywhere, hearing mm-hmm. their names, and watching their art that they make.
Mm-hmm. For example, Grace Davenport, my daughter.
Little Gracie, yeah.
She's got a heck of a singing voice.
Mm-hmm.
She knows the computer inside and out. She's doing stuff on the computer that just blows me away. And great. She's just great at talking to adults, which
yeah.
I think is really important. You've seen the way she
talks
to you.
When I have a conversation with her,
it's like you're just talking
to
one of your peers.
Yes, I feel like it's a peer.
And I say, like, who did she learn that from? I know it wasn't Brooke. You know,
yeah.
like it definitely wasn't for Brooke. And when she comes over, I'm just blown away by how grown up she is and what a little beautiful little woman she's becoming.
And she's number one, 15 under 15.
Yeah.
She's 10 years old. And I think that numbers 2 through 5 are the little Clem clan. My four boys, who I just am so, so proud of, Cranston, Gilligan, Vince, and Brian. These little dudes are so rockin' cool,
mm-hmm.
and the fashion choices they make.
They have great style.
Yes, their style is outrageous,
mm-hmm.
and it is next level. It is ahead of its time,
mm-hmm.
and some of the music they listen to, mm-hmm. I'm just like, these guys are making taste.
Yes.
And I'm just so proud of my little men, my little soldiers,
mm-hmm.
because they are their own people, but they're also just like dad.
But they're not all. We've only got 5 kids. The list is not all our kids.
We've got 5 kids who are on here.
Yes.
And then my daughters with Steffi are not going to be power players.
There are some other young people in this industry we'd like to give a shout out to. How about that Bart Simpson?
Holy cow. Only 10 years old. and this guy comes out with one-liners, geez, he is Rodney Dangerfield or something.
Springfield's favorite rapscallion has been terrorizing his way into our hearts for a number of years now. And people say, like, oh, but the show's been on for more than 15 years. Yeah, it's my fucking job to know that. You know? Like, of course I know that.
Please don't talk down to me, you fucking idiot.
What about the guy who does the voice of him? Huh? Did you ever think about that?
It's a girl who does the voice of him.
Did you ever think that it was a girl?
Yeah.
And she's under 15, so it's fine.
Yeah, she's under 15 and smart as a whip. And he also has had some hit singles.
Sure.
And I honestly cannot go to get a sandwich from a deli without people doing the Bartman in line.
Mm-hmm. As funny as I think it is, I sometimes don't think it's so funny when it happens to me, when, you know, when people spray paint El Barto in your house.
If I caught kids doing that, man, they'd be in big, big trouble, which is another one of his hit songs.
Some of the other...
Now you can't go to the boat show. Sorry, I just love that part of Big, Big Trouble where he goes, don't, now you can't go to the boat show. And that is a lyric that is going to, you're going to hear more and more, I think. Other 15 under
15? Yeah, more of the 15 under 15. Twitter!
Hello?
Twitter's only been around for about 10 years, and it's really changing the way the industry takes shape, and pretty soon... Our prediction is that you are going to be starting to watch movies on there.
Yeah, I think that Twitter and movies is about to be one in the same. And I wouldn't be surprised if by right now it's November. I wouldn't be surprised if by the end of November that you're watching movies on Twitter and that you no longer have to have a TV.
As Vines get longer and longer, you'll watch a two-hour Vine, and then it'll just start right back over again, and you'll be able to watch it again. The industry's changing, I think.
Hey, that'd be nice for our royalties, because they just watch it again right away.
Oh, because every time they would watch it, we'd get a little
chunk.
They
don't even realize they're just watching it again.
Oh, that's right.
You know, it's on a loop, so they're watching it maybe six times, where right now a lot of people only watch our movies 1.5 times. But go ahead. You were talking about social media.
I was talking about how social media and the different ways we watch movies now is changing. And screens are getting smaller at the same time the ideas are getting bigger, I think. And in a couple years, Twitter's just going to be a big movie.
I agree. And I think the other character who really stormed onto the 15 under 15 this year, who had not made the list before, was calling things epic.
Calling things epic, yes.
Wow.
That's just starting to walk, calling things epic. It's just a toddler now. But it's so interesting that calling things epic has itself become epic.
Yes. Yes. And that's what's blown me away. And I only just first heard the term a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard...
In the context of someone saying that one of your parking jobs was an epic win.
That's exactly right, yeah. And it was true. There was not a lot of space to parallel. And I was in the big car.
Yes, the big car. Yes.
Yeah, it's a Murcielago.
Yes, it's a Murcielago. Also on the 15 under 15, how about these kids doing charity car washes? Every time I go by these kids... They want to go on a basketball trip, or they're trying to raise money for a new basketball court or something. I always pull in, no matter whether or not my car, sometimes my car is pretty clean. I like to keep it in pretty good shape, but I'm still going through that charity car wash, and I'll get it done at a real car wash afterwards to get all the scum off it that they put on.
Which car are you driving these days?
I'm driving the big one.
Okay.
The Lamborghini.
Mm-hmm. I guess the only other member on 15 under 15, and we didn't do a whole 15 because not enough people earned it this year.
Yeah.
Work
a little harder next time.
Yeah. It's a real wake-up call that we only have about 10 of the 15, that a lot of these young ones could be putting the elbow grease in.
Everyone gets a trophy now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The kids grow up today, and everything they do— their parents say they're doing a good job because they don't want to hurt their feelings. You know, they don't want to hurt their kids' feelings. God forbid your kid should ever cry.
Yeah, everyone gets a trophy. When Hayes and I were growing up, it wasn't like that. We had to actually outright win everything we stepped up to the plate to do to get a trophy. And believe me, the case is full.
There were no trophies for best effort, for, you know, for good try. All these good
trophies
you see these days. I feel like every kid I see on the street now is holding some kind of trophy.
It's literally become an epidemic.
It has literally become an epidemic.
And it's literally one of the worst things in our country.
I agree.
But anyway, the last 15 under 15 is trophies.
Yeah, it's trophies themselves. It's not the trophy's fault, is what we're trying to say.
We
here.
Get very mad. Yeah, we don't want to take it out on the trophies themselves. We love trophies.
The trophies themselves are actually very nicely made. And very nice to look at, and they look beautiful on a shelf. And just because these parents are giving them out to every kid they see, throwing trophies at them, doesn't mean that the trophies themselves
are not of value,
shouldn't be appreciated, don't deserve a little attention every now and then.
And so there, so that's the last one on the list. And also, Hayes wrote this week's trophy wife. Go ahead and tune in.
Yes, I did write this week's little, trophy
you
wife.
You have the young Asian kid saying some pretty good quips, huh?
Yes, this week the trophy wife takes the kids to the zoo.
Okay, how's that go?
Well, she doesn't know what any of the animals are. And so they're asking her, trophy wife, what's that? And she's having to, she has a little radio in her ear so that her friend can tell her what the animals are as she's going through it, but
her
surprise, surprise, she gets shot with a water gun and the radio malfunctions and her friend fell asleep. And so she's having to, she's going through the zoo blind, no idea what any of the animals are. But then at the end, she realizes that she doesn't need to know what animals are for...
to be a good mom.
To be a good mom. That's not...
and to be sexy.
That's not all it is. Yeah.
Being sexy is not always about...
about knowing what animals are what.
Great. Well...
that was great. We're going to be right back. Oh, we have a very good guest today. Paul Rust.
Paul Rust is here.
He was in Inglourious Bees, I Love You Best Cooper.
He wrote for this most recent season of Arrested Development.
Oh, wow. That's great for him. That's exactly what he should be doing. Very soon on Hollywood Handbook.
Hollywood Handbook.
So I start screaming, and I go, well, excuse me. But my dad just got stung by a bee on his head. So if that's not an emergency, you tell me what is. They came over right away.
Is he okay?
I don't know.
Hollywood Handbook.
What up, what up? We're back on Hollywood Handbook.
What's up?
This is a segment that we really enjoy doing. I think it's sort of an important segment. There's this idea...
mm-hmm.
In Hollywood, that the writer performers run the show.
Yeah, I think people believe that once you're a big deal writer performer, that you sort of you're doing all the moves.
Right. In some cases, that is true.
Yes.
But
I can think of two cases where it's true.
Yes, I don't want to name any names, but there are a couple of examples where that is the case. But not to do a little myth busting, the truth about Hollywood is it's run mostly by 10%ers.
The 10%ers, for people who don't know,
these are like representatives.
Yeah, they represent the actors and the writers. Mm-hmm. They submit them for jobs. They have relationships with the studios and the networks. And a lot of young actors go, well, how do I get a 10%ery on my side? And which 10%ery is the right one for me?
So. And it's like a specific person who's assigned to your career who works at a 10%ery is called a 10%erist. And people wonder when they first make it out to L.A., that's sort of the first step. Get a 10%er on your side.
As a quick, Ari on Entourage was Vince's 10%er.
Probably the most famous 10%er.
Probably the most famous 10%erist.
Yes.
Just so you have a picture in your head.
Yes. So this segment is called 10%ery Elementary. It's where we school you. We take you to elementary school.
And we educate you.
And we educate you on what each 10%ery, what role each of them plays.
What they bring to the table. We like to think of these 10%eries as having their own personality, sort of like they're a bunch of people at a high school party.
Yes.
And so we sort of identify them like that. Each one has, you know, fits in a certain archetype.
Sort of a clique.
And hopefully we'll clarify for you which one is right for you when it comes time for you to choose between them and just say, okay, this is my 10%.
Right. They're, as far as we're concerned, and I think as far as everyone concerned, and I think the fact is that there are three 10%eries in Hollywood.
There are three that I know of. There may be some independent sort of people just fleecing people, you know, outside of that.
Yes.
But for our money, there's three of them.
Mm-hmm.
The first one I feel like is the easiest to picture, and this is CAA.
Yeah.
And these guys at the high school party, these are kind of the jocks, aren't they,
right.
Hayes?
Yes. Those are the guys you'd find tossing a football around.
Varsity sort of, sweater on.
Yeah, sort of a big muscular build, always a pretty cheerleader by their side.
Yeah, real hot shots, and they leave you thinking, oh, this is going to be some bully jerk.
Right.
But when you actually get to talk to them, they're really nice.
Yeah.
And it turns out they get straight A's,
they
too.
They get straight
they're not
A's,
just
and
some
they actually
dumb jock.
Do take advanced classes. Like, what makes them so good at sports is how hardworking they are.
Yeah, and
that
they're in AP classes.
That
translates
into the classroom.
Credit.
And they don't, just because they are popular doesn't mean they discriminate against anyone else at the school.
Yeah, like, a lot of times they're friends with, like, a kid in a wheelchair.
Yeah, they have
something.
A lot of different kinds of friends.
Yeah.
And they sort of have their pick of, they get into a lot of really good colleges and.
Yeah. So that's CAA.
Mm-hmm.
Now.
And what does
the,
CAA stand for?
Cool as anything. Now on the other side of the coin, you have UTA.
Mm-hmm.
Now people probably heard of UTA.
Mm-hmm.
They rep Johnny Depp.
Yeah.
And that's a good example of, they're sort of these guys you walk in, they're in the corner. They're not quite goth, they're not quite hippie, but it's like some sort of artistic, alternative vibe you feel.
Yeah, they're sort of all, they're wearing sometimes black clothes.
Yeah, and so you go, oh, this guy's a loner, this guy's a weirdo, but if you talk to him, or even just watch for a few minutes, you find out tons of friends.
Yeah.
And really funny and smart.
Mm-hmm. And they actually have, like, great taste in music, but just because you don't know about something doesn't mean that they think less of you. Like, they just want to share their good taste. It's just something they're really genuinely excited about.
Yeah, they introduce you to cool bands like The Cure or whatever. And actually, even though they're into all that stuff, if you ever want to go out and shoot hoops with them,
sure.
They're actually very athletic.
It's surprising how good they are at sports.
Yes.
And at the same time, while they project an image of not caring that much about school and the establishment.
They get into all the best schools.
They get into all the best schools, and they get very good grades, and they actually think applying yourself is really important. They, you know, it's your future is sort of their attitude. And you only get one.
And what does UTA stand for?
UTA stands for under the awning, like the awning says success in Hollywood.
And coolness.
Yeah. So they sort of, it's like they fall under the awning of success and coolness is sort of what that alludes to.
Now, those both sound like good people to talk to at a party, but let's talk about the other guy.
Yeah.
WME.
WME, if you went to certain kinds of schools, you might be familiar with a clique called the Preps.
Okay.
Those are the guys with a pastel sweater tied around their shoulders, like shorts with little whales on them.
And for me, the WME is the guy who, first time I see him, he's got these big, thick glasses on. And I go, oh, this nerd burger is not going to be cool enough to talk to.
Right. So they're sort of a combination of preps and nerds.
And nerds. But then he takes his glasses off.
Yeah.
And he goes, I don't need these to see.
Right.
I was having a goof. And I go, that's funny.
Uh-huh.
And cool and smart.
Yeah.
And then I realize, oh, this guy actually is great at sports. he listens to like top 40 music, but he knows which songs are good and which songs are trash.
Right. And just because he's rich doesn't mean that he's weird about money or anything.
No.
He's totally grounded and not spoiled at all. Ton of poor friends. And his girlfriend is very attractive, but also really nice.
Yeah. Sweetheart. Does like volunteer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So that's sort of a breakdown. You get an idea of it, just like in high school, you know, not everyone's the same.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, what clique are you in?
Right.
Are you with the cool, funny, smart, athletic,
yeah,
popular agency?
Or like the really smart, nice, good at sports? Or like just sort of the all around?
Yeah, like, the like well-rounded one.
Right. And that's WME, which stands for Wonderful Men Every Day.
And so, yes. And so when you move here,
mm-hmm,
knock on the door that makes the most sense to you.
And people sometimes ask, like, well, when I was in high school, there were like some guys, like a bunch of like bullies and like poor kids and guys that like got bad, like burnouts and druggies and stuff. This isn't your high school, pal.
This is actually a good school.
This is a very selective.
And also, even if it was, they're in the school, they're not invited to the party that we're at.
Yeah, exactly. This kind of party is for a certain class of student, as it were. You won't find ugly people, stupid people, people without a certain amount of money, or if you don't have that much money, like, you still know how to dress well, you know?
Yeah, you can disguise the fact, maybe, that you don't have that much money.
Yes, people at this party drink and do drugs, but, like, at a reasonable, like,
it's fucking they cool do it responsibly. They do it the way they do
they
it.
They do it like adults. This isn't, whatever experience you think you've had that relates to this, I mean, unless you are in it, you don't know. So don't ask questions like that. It's a bad question, and it's not a good use of our time.
And that's the last we'll say about it.
That's the school bell. Ring. Recess time. That's where we listen to an advertisement. And we'll be right back with our guest on Hollywood Handbook.
So I clink my glass to do a toast, right?
Yes.
And I just go, I'm sorry, but Buster Keaton's not funny, and this whole dinner is a sham.
Yeah.
And I felt so brave.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they knew that.
What did Fallon say?
He just spit his water at me.
Hey,
what up?
Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz.
We're here with the homie, Paul Rust.
We've got a heck of a guest. Heck of a guest today.
Big one today.
Paul Rust is here.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Good to be here. Huge fan.
Really good.
Yeah. It's nice to be here. Right here in the heart of Hollywood.
Right?
Mm-hmm. The belly of the beast.
It's not Van Nuys handbook, we say. You know, it's no, not yeah. certainly not West Hollywood Handbook, if you know what I mean.
Let me.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
No.
Not our style.
Not for us. Love pussy. Feels so good.
Not that there's anything wrong with it. I love Seinfeld, and I'm a big fan of
Jerry
the show.
Jerry Seinfeld,
huge inspiration.
Jerry Seinfeld. Hayes wrote for them.
I did write for back when. Or when it was going to be called Mr. Seinfeld.
The Mr. Seinfeld Chronicles.
Yeah, Mr. Seinfeld Chronicles.
Yeah,
and I said, drop the Mr.
That was
it's
you?
Cleaner.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Paul, we met you a long time ago.
That's right.
I think it was at one of your famous flash mobs. You used to organize these really fun flash mobs in like crowded spaces. You sort of bring a little levity into the
well,
everyday
you know, it's
experience.
Just, I feel like in the comedy scene, comedians are just they're social creatures, you know, and they just constantly want to get together,
yes,
and have fun and hang out. And for me, I guess it's just like trying to come up with events to get just some wild madmen together, you know,
yes,
just a laugh. And the flash mob was it. Yeah. And that's where I met you two.
When we loved doing them, it was nice to sort of bring it it down
so
to the people.
It was so awesome to get back, first of all, to my roots as a dancer, because I never get to do that anymore. I never get to flex those muscles.
Yeah.
And also just to feel like I was collaborating, because so much of this business is just being locked in your room.
Yes.
You know, just click-clacking away on the typewriter
all
night.
It can get a little hairy.
Yeah, it's just a very solitary career sometimes. So when you can get, you know, just three great brains in the room together, like now or something, just, you know, brain jamming. It's great because, you know, well, I feel like a lot of those flash mobs, a lot of great ideas came out of them, you know?
Yes.
A lot of great shows.
Yeah,
sure.
Just from people having conversations.
A lot of the most popular programs that are on now were birthed right in those flash mobs.
Mm-hmm. The Middle was birthed as a as a the flash mob originally.
The Bates Hotel movie, I think, or a TV show, yeah.
Sure.
Pan Am.
That was the higher-end version of Bates Motel, I think, when we were like, make it a little more posh.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. It was going to be about a bellboy who worked at the Bates Hotel. And then they bumped it down to Bates Motel. And that's fine.
That's fine. I think they were worried about
a different
but not being accessible.
Yeah. Pan Am was there. And Stargate Atlantis, I think, I remember. It was an exclamation. I stubbed my toe doing a dance move, sort of one of those inverted Macarena thing you were teaching us. And I went, Stargate Atlantis! And I don't know where it came from.
Yeah.
And I saw a guy scribble it down, and the next day it was on the air.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm. That's how fast it can happen.
What was that flash month? That was at Hollywood
Americana? Oh.
Yeah, there was two mall ones.
Yeah.
So I get confused sometimes about the Americana one was the one where, because we went by the, it was sort of like a comment on their fountains, right?
Yes.
It was a bit of a takedown of the fountain culture there.
You choreograph the fountains to do things.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to choreograph ourselves to do things. I think was sort of the...
Well, we sort of were like, you're valuing fountains more than people, and we think people are what's important, and I stand by that.
Oh,
it started I think, just you coming out of the crowd and sarcastically clapping at one of the fountains, and then one by one, all the rest of us did.
And then the clapping became sort of a dance. And then you stubbed your toe, right? I think you stubbed your toe at
during that one, and I went, Stargate Atlantis!
Oh, right, yeah, we talked about this, I'm sorry.
Because it really hurt.
Yeah.
But I've given up the flash mobs though. They just got a little too out of hand.
What's going on? What kinds of stuff have you been up to lately?
Oh, you know, just pounding the pavement.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And being trapped in this guy here. I pointed my brain.
Yes.
I don't know if you, but you know, just
we talk about that sometimes. Sort of living in the funny zone. Because Sean and I have actually talked about this. We say, I think Paul might be spending a little too much time in the funny zone.
Too much time in the funny zone.
See, I call them my funny glasses that I walk around the world with my funny glasses on, looking for comedy, looking for things that are funny, and then having them go through the glasses into my eyes.
Right.
And then coming back out comedy. But I've never heard of it put as, what you said, the funny zone?
The funny zone.
Yeah.
And you're concerned that I exist
well,
in that space?
Well, when you're always in that space, you know, when you never come out, do you lose touch of what the world outside of the funny zone is like?
No,
we're just thinking about you.
I totally understand that.
To put it in terms you would understand, I would almost say that maybe you're wearing your funny glasses too much. Does that make sense?
That makes I have this term, funny glasses, so that actually does make sense to me.
Mm-hmm.
I try to take the funny glasses off or get out of the funny zone.
Yeah.
Because I recognize what you guys are saying. You can get too mired in it. So sometimes I'll drive 30 miles out of L.A. and I'll go into a small town. And I'll just hang out with like a mechanic for a day.
Oh, wow.
Just salt of the earth.
Yeah, just talk to him. I mean, it can be a crazy perspective sometimes, but I come back from LA and I am just, I have trunk loads of material.
Yes.
Just ideas because I went And I talk to a regular person.
To real people. And that's something that we lose sight of in this city, is everyone starts jerking off the other artists, you know?
Sure. Oh,
and you're double fisting three artists at once, jerking them all off. But we're not making it for them necessarily. We're making entertainment for real Americans.
And I'm amazed at how funny some of them are.
And
they don't even know.
And it makes me feel like a fraud.
Right?
I mean, some of the funniest people I have met aren't in show business.
Yes.
Just dads or uncles or moms or cousins, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. All kinds of family.
Like, if I could choose between hanging out in a room with... Peter Sellers.
Yeah.
Or
genius.
He's a genius. Don't get me wrong.
Genius. Oh, he's alive.
He gets lost in his characters.
Yes. Yeah.
But if I could have a choice between him or, I don't know, my dad's best friend, I'd choose my dad's best friend because I'm probably going to laugh more.
Yeah.
As genius as Sellers is, in a way, my dad's best friend is more brilliant.
More brilliant because he's not trying.
Right. Mm.
And that was the thing about Peter Sellers.
Trying very hard.
But you could feel the effort. Strange Love.
Strange Love is so funny. I just turn it on and I laugh and laugh.
Oh, when Strange Love is on, turn off my phone because I am laughing and laughing. I am going to be laughing all day. And even after it ends, I'm still laughing at what I saw when it was on. Mm-hmm. And that's how funny. And I love Strange Love, but everything else he did is trash. He was trying too hard.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Paul, one of the things that you've been doing that I've really enjoyed are your, when you go on KTLA 5 and do your 10-second movie reviews.
Oh, yeah, it's been fun. You've seen those.
I have seen those, and I really enjoy them a lot. And I was wondering if you'd like to do a couple today.
I don't know if KTLA owns those or if we can.
They don't. That was actually a long part of the negotiation process when I first started.
You could do them on podcasts.
A performer's work is the only thing he can really stand on.
Yes.
And if KTLA owns that, and I know how it is. They take my 10-second reviews and they put them on a DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And then they sell the DVD or they throw them up on Netflix and then they get the money for that. I just like to own... I own my stables.
Sure.
DVD sales are such a huge part of
the
money
we
make.
It's becoming a whole new business.
Yeah. That almost more people are watching movies at home.
Yeah, DVD is growing.
Yeah. Hollywood VD is...
Yeah, the last D in Hollywood...
Is the beginning of DVD.
Is the beginning of DVD. At this point, and in a year, it'll be even more so.
But is there any classics? Are there any favorite movies?
I enjoy some of the recent ones. I thought your Captain Phillips one was really good, if you'd like to.
Oh, yeah. Well, the secret to those two is, in order to make them 10 seconds, I just make them 10 words. Because each word equals about a second. So
yes.
I know if I just...
I never noticed that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hmm. So Captain Phillips, that's two, was a transformative... Now, transformative actually takes one of the words, so this is a niner.
It's a nine one, yeah.
Captain Phillips was a transformative experience at the movies. But my boss was upset with me because I didn't get the letter grade in or the amount of stars. I tried to do a letter grade and stars.
You almost always run out of time, though.
I don't think I've seen one where you did get a letter grade involved. So your boss must always be kind of upset.
If you listen when they come back from commercial... as the graphics are playing and the music, I try to whisper the grade very quietly underneath the bed of music. So if you, Captain Phillips was a C because he was on a C.
Oh.
Yeah, he's on the C, and also Captain starts with C.
Mm-hmm.
I get that.
There's an old throwback that was really good. Bridesmaids, that review sort of launched.
Yeah, that was the one that did it for
me.
In the same way that I like to think Bridesmaids launched the career of Melissa McCarthy.
Mm-hmm.
My Bridesmaids review launched my career as a reviewer.
Yeah.
Bridesmaids was a hilarious experience at the movies.
Yeah, I remember hearing that one and I said, seeing it! Uh-huh. and I did see it. And Bridesmaids was a B?
Yes, it was a B.
B for Bridesmaids.
Right. It's really difficult sometimes when I review a movie that doesn't start with an A, B, C, D, or F. Mm-hmm. That's been the toughest reviews.
You have
I've
to
had.
Give them sort of an unconventional grade.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the hours.
Are there any
the
okay.
hours?
Good.
Yeah.
I was struggling also to think of a movie that started with any other letter other than A, B, C, D, or F.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, you think of Zorro and then you go.
Is that,
that
a movie?
Even the movie? Yeah.
Is that a movie? Yeah.
I know Mask is all.
You know who's
was,
really uh-huh. funny, though? Antonio Banderas.
He is.
Oh, isn't he hilarious?
So funny.
Yes.
So funny.
I
when
a,
I watch him on screen, I feel like I'm hanging with my dad's friend.
Because dad's
that's
best
how
friend.
Funny, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, if I had a choice to be in a room with Banderas or my dad's best friend, I'd choose Banderas. Mm-hmm. He's
because
so
he's
funny.
Famous and like funny and yeah. like he's a really great actor.
And, yeah. and he would like the same foods I like because we both have a lot of money. Paul, you've worked with a bunch of sort of heavy hitters in this town.
Yes.
Can you speak on the difference between preparing for a Quentin Tarantino Killam versus Christopher Columbine?
You were in Inglourious Bees with Quentin.
And Quentin Tarantino Killam. You know, he's a legend.
Mm-hmm. Who were you? You were Slimer in that, right?
Yeah, I play. I was a Slimer in a few scenes, and a lot of the fans don't notice this, but I was actually pre-Slimer when he was in his flesh and bones body before he died.
Uh-huh.
And then in the background, you see me die, and then I come back as a Slimer. You know, the movie, even though it was a big success, it was, you know, a lower budgeted sort of independent movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there was problems. I know that we couldn't afford the hot dogs for Slimer's mouth. And that was an issue. We only could do 4, and I think the script called for 6. And, you know, but that's why you do indie filmmaking is just you figure out a way to get those extra 2 hot dogs.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little about Quentin's direction and like has it affected the way just sort of when you live your everyday life will you ever think about some of the things
well,
he
Quentin
told you
was influenced a lot by the director Brian Levant who did the Beethoven I think the first Beethoven movie and the Flintstones movie one of the Problem Child films I think and so he was constantly talking about Levant Levant would do this Levant would set up the shot and
he read Levant on Levant right.
Right. And, you know, after a while, you're just kind of like, well, let's just get Brian Levant in here and make Inglourious Bees.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because if we're aping him so much,
sure,
let's just get the real thing.
Let's just get the guy. Yeah.
And that was a long conversation, I know, most mornings, was can we just get Levant in here?
Mm-hmm.
But Quentin Tarantino Killam put his foot down.
Now, you have studied improv. When you were younger.
I love improv.
Can you talk a little bit about how much of movies is a script and how much of a movies is you just going off? And feel free to be honest about how it's really almost all just you going off.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think there's sort of this code that you claim, oh, we don't improvise much. We stick to the script, you know, to keep the nerds happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I would say, not just me, I would say most actors in any genre of movie, I'd say it's percentage 90, 95% improvised.
Yeah, yeah, you say, I always like when you would say, going into a shoot, like, I love the script is really important because I got to throw out something.
Right. And I got to throw out 5, 10% or 90.
Right.
What am I throwing out exactly? What's the percentage?
You would be throwing out 95%.
90. Right. So I'm keeping the 5%. Said. Yes.
Keeping the 5. So you have a little bit of a template to work from. And also, you know what jokes you're not going to do.
Mm-hmm.
You manage to strike a couple out right off the bat.
Yes.
And go, well, somebody else thought
that
of that.
That helps narrow it down.
And if it didn't come out of my bean.
Yeah.
Well, and I like a lot of times I'll have the script sort of off to the side. So when they call cut, I like to roll up the script kind of in a little, you know, just roll it up. And then I go over to the writer and I kind of pop him in the arm with the script. I go, you like what I just did there? And I think that makes him feel good about his job. It's just a way to support a writer and encourage them.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I think of a script as just a template.
Sure.
To build off, or a blueprint to build my crazy buildings.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I like to say, of course, that we are blueprint makers and golf course designers.
As writers.
Because just go play.
Yes.
Right.
Go play, you know? And you pick the club, and you swing as hard as you want. And it's just, there's just sort of, we've laid out this nice sort of fun, nice looking golf course for you.
Yeah.
And the actors can play on that.
Here's the hole. That's the act break. Just get it in there.
Yeah. And take your time, and then we'll chop it up. And it's a certain, you know, scripts serve a purpose because it's a great way to make a buttload of money when I'm not acting in movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that is so important to this industry.
That's really important.
Oh, yeah. If you're not acting and you're not making money or income, it's really nice to be able to continue making money with writing, just to make sure that you, what am I trying to say, constantly have money.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can just do it right on your computer.
Yeah. And it's a total fucking jerk off.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Paul, you like to say that fame is just an illusion.
Well, I like to say fame is just an illusion. I like to take a space.
I'm sorry I stole that space from you. Yeah.
Well, you just condensed it. You sort of tightened it up.
And it doesn't mean the same thing.
Well, you're sort of like Rock. You know, Chris Rock.
Yes.
Loves to make things concise and have no air. And I guess I'm sort of more of a Cosby. You know, I like to be.
Let it breathe.
Let it breathe. You know. But
Speak on that.
I have gotten in trouble before for saying that. A lot of people don't like to hear it, particularly illusionists.
Sure.
Magicians.
Hey, that's our bag.
Yeah. They go, magic is an illusion, not fame. And the fame we get from our magic, that's not an illusion. And, you know, I've had a falling out with a lot of the magician community because they kind of, there's a sort of, in the Venn diagram, the comedy worlds and the magic worlds sort of cross.
And
not so much after Wonderstone. I think it's kind of made things a little chillier.
Well, and you weren't allowed to see Now You See Me, is that right? They wouldn't let you into the theater? You paid for the ticket, and then
I said, Paul, now you don't
the
see
The door
me.
Kept disappearing and moving when you tried to get in?
Yeah, I would go up to the thing, and I'd go to grab the doorknob, and the doorknob would move up to the corner of the... And then I'd get a stool, and I'd get on top of the stool that reached the doorknob, and then it would move. They kept a lot of... magicians just outside the arc light just to keep people's eyes peeled. And I wasn't the only one who was not getting in. I mean, I don't want to get anybody in trouble or name names. But
you were the main one, the most famous one.
Yeah, there were some other comedians, though, who are, I guess, on the shit list of different magicians.
Give us one scoop.
Well, Marin.
Oh, sure. Okay.
He's trouble. I think because Marin sounds like magician...
It really does sound a lot like
magician. Makes people competitive.
Yeah.
You know?
Mark Magician.
I thought it might be fun to reach into the popcorn gallery.
Oh, I would love to do that.
Yummy. Some of our listeners have prepared some questions for you, Paul.
Oh, great.
And
you know, I think sometimes the best questions come from people who aren't in the industry.
That's how we feel too, because sometimes we don't even know what's interesting to ask because to us it's just sort of boring.
You're in it.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. You're just so deep in it.
So here's a question from Clyde. Listener Clyde. Clyde asks,
that's a great name.
What's the best social media for getting my projects to reach sky high?
Well, you got a lot of choices, you know. For me, I've just noticed, and just in terms of sky highness.
Yes.
I mean, if that's what you're going for, sky high. You know, I feel like not a lot of people have said this, but Twitter is such a great way to have just an instant connection with your fans.
Thank you.
That, you know, you can write a script, and then it gets kicked up to the execs. They give their notes. They make their changes.
Ugh.
And then by the time your fans and your viewers are seeing it, it's a completely different animal.
Mm-hmm.
But with Twitter, I can say exactly what I want in any amount of characters I want.
Yeah.
And reach the people I want to reach.
Thank you.
You guys feel the same way about Twitter? Because I've pissed off some people before when I've said that Twitter's a great way to have access to
people. Oh, well, you're not pissing us off, but we've run into the same meatheads who don't want to listen to Twitter is a great way to have direct access to your fans and really make them feel like they have a connection with you. Which, of course, they don't. That's ridiculous. But it makes them feel that way, and that feels nice.
Well, it's another illusion.
It's another illusion.
I mean, there's so many.
Sorry, Mark Magicians.
It's just, it's tough, you know, in this business. There's so many times that I just go, what is real? You know, is I think my connection to my fans is real.
This money feels real in my hand.
But have you ever thought about how money is just, it symbolizes, what, a heap of gold somewhere?
Well, ever since fiat currency was put in place and the gold standard was, we have a lot of opinions on this and we talk about it on the podcast a lot. So we shouldn't go too far down this road.
Well, like most comedians, we're libertarians.
But the government that's in place right now in this country is a sham, and they certainly don't represent us.
He is not my president.
They don't represent anyone.
They
don't even represent what they say they represent, which is a big part of why it's all some huge fucking shadow conspiracy bullshit. And I'll tell you, the second I can start making movies in Italy, I'm so out of here. Once that paperwork goes through, and guess who's holding it up?
Obama.
The government. Uncle Obama and his little red war.
Here's a question. Let's dip back in the popcorn bag. This one's from Hunter.
Dude, I think I got the munchies.
That's a cool sound clip.
Yeah.
Hunter asks, Paul, have you ever done something embarrassing by accident in a Hollywood situation, for example, on a movies or television set, on a stage, or in a very important meeting? If so, how did you handle it?
Well, I don't think I'm going to be surprising anybody when I admit, you know, I have the doctors call it a queefing syndrome. And so I've been in some situations where, well, I met Helen Mirren, and I like to say, I queefed in front of the queen.
Wow.
It was at the Queen premiere, and I'm a huge Mirren maniac. It was at the after party, and I went over to her, and I was just like, Ms. Mirren. It was embarrassing. I almost called her Ms. Mirren.
Yeah, sure.
Because Mark Parrish was there, too.
Sounds a lot like
I went over to her, and I shook her hand, and I guess she squeezed it just a little harder than I expected. I queefed. Thank God she queefed at the same time.
To put you at ease.
Yeah. She's a pro. You know, she could tell
that
I was uncomfortable.
You've been in this business for that long.
And there's a lot of celebrities, I'll be honest, who would have just let me queef and be embarrassed about it and kind of have that power trip of like, I know you did. I've never queefed. But Helen, she did. And her husband was there, the director, Taylor Hackford. Is that his name? And he went, oh, baby, that stinks. I guess that wasn't so much of an embarrassing situation.
Yeah, I wondered why you... It sounded like you were sort of dodging the question a little bit there.
I also my pants dropped accidentally once in front of Les Moonves, the head of CBS.
Yeah.
Was that a play on his name you were trying to do?
Yeah. I said... Less Moonves? How about more Moonin right now? And he said, what? I don't get that.
and you gave him a little press.
But I booked it. I booked it, guys.
And at the end of the day, that's all that matters. And they can't deny talent. You got to be so good they can't ignore you.
You were saying something earlier about money. I mean, when you book something, I think that's part of the thrill is, like, you know you're going to get money.
It's, you know that it's cash in your pocket.
Yeah.
And that is so good.
That's the most satisfying feeling.
It's the most satisfying feeling that you can have. And I don't think there's any art left.
Mm-mm.
No.
But I know there's money left.
Mm-hmm.
and I'll take it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And as long as you've already accepted, I mean, I said that out loud practically, you know, as I was driving into LA, the first time I drove into LA. I was like, I know this isn't for art. This is for money, and I'm okay with that. And with the hope, you know, in a few years, I know we all say this, guys, but mm-hmm. I just love to retire and take my money and just get a ranch and just start writing yes. the stuff I want to write.
That Hollywood money goes pretty far out in flyover country, we've found.
Yeah, yeah. You can stretch it.
Yeah. Remember that feeling first driving into LA and seeing the city just kind of rise up before you and just open its arms to sort of welcome you in?
Open its legs.
Well,
That's...
There is a sexual element to the city. You're right, Sean. There is. There
hey,
is.
Hey, thank you. I mean...
Well, that's very gross.
We're going to dance around it. What's gross?
I just don't think that that's...
Oh, my... But you don't... I mean, to some extent, don't you think sex sells in this industry?
Well, whether or not that's true, I don't think it's something that we should be endorsing, like implying that it's okay.
Okay, you've never bought a ticket to a film just because there was a sexual element, perhaps an attractive woman, maybe like a, I mean, I don't want to give away too much of your type, but maybe there's like a Whoopi Goldberg in it, or there's someone that you really admire.
But
like,
what is
and,
it?
And you kind of are going in there, yes, to see a good film, but sure. also to get off a little bit in your downstairs area.
This is a podcast, you know?
Yeah, but we're supposed to be telling the truth about this town.
And I mean, I know we're getting a little bit into our lives here, but sometimes I think showbiz is our lives, is showbiz, is our lives, is, you know, it's just one loop. And when you talk about, I know when I'm talking about my life, I feel like, should this be a headline in Variety?
And
should I contact Nikki Fink?
If you, but Hayes, if you want to sit here and pretend you didn't get a high hard one during the help, and you go ahead and do it. But I was sitting next to you, and I know what I
Brett,
saw.
Brett, I'm ending the show. End the show. End it. Thank you. Thanks for listening, guys. Rate us on iTunes. What do we have in the pro version this week? If you buy the pro version, we've got some really great goodies for you. Oh, I think Bruce Reed Robinson ordered the pro version mm-hmm. last week, and he wins Paul Rust saying his name like Michael Buffer on the podcast. So Bruce Reed Robinson, here is your prize.
Bruce Reed Robinson, wait till they get a load of me. That also functions as a 10-second review, I think, technically. I think that was 10 words.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, it was.
And I love you guys' merch section, too. I'm going in there, getting all my Christmas presents
that.
For all my
yeah.
friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please jump in there and get the merch. It's...
Well, your logo of the Hollywood sign and the two O's in wood being cross-eyed... to show how very crazy
this town, yeah, this town can be a little goofy.
Mm-hmm. And the Hollywood hands, the big foam.
Yeah, big foam.
Hollywood hands.
Those are great. My yep. niece loves them. She's crazy about them.
Yeah. If you order the pro version, you obviously could get a great prize like Bruce did, and you get two free Blimpy subs and anything you want on those subs except condiments. And you get those absolutely for free mm-hmm. if you order the pro version, if you're one of the first 10 people to do it this week. And we get about a million a week.
Bye.
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 This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio. Boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.